Showtime, folks. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Tuesday. Hope you're having a great start to your day. He's Big Joe Dubin. I'm Chase McCabe. Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier on the ones and twos. What's up, JoJo?
Just another exciting Tuesday in America's Music City, and we're back. And the Titans have wrapped up practice with the Falcons on day one down there, and depending on who you talk to, oh, boy.
Well, I mean, we only get 90 seconds of reporting, so, you know, according to the rules.
And videoing.
Videoing, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Other than that, you can talk all day long.
And listen, 90 seconds, that's a long time for some people.
It is. Do you really want to watch 90 seconds of Titans football? I'm not sure.
That's a punishment.
I'm not sure we do. And
Dr. Crane can supposedly kill an elk in 90 seconds, so.
Bare hands. Good.
With you his got, bare hands.
You got a hunter's hat on today. What is that thing?
I do. You better watch out. Texas changed me.
I'm telling you, man. You look, you're the hunter's
when
hat
were
on.
Where were you in Texas?
This past weekend.
You were?
I was, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I was celebrating my dad's 60th birthday.
Oh, happy birthday, Dad.
Yeah, thank
These
you.
Are things I need to know so
Did
I
he
can
not
send
know?
Shout-outs.
You were off. You were off last week. Did he not know? Did you surprise him?
Yeah, when you asked me at the Omni, I was like, I can't tell you where we're going because I didn't know. And that was the whole thing. So, yeah, gotcha. I was even surprised, which is kind of cool.
What part of Texas?
San Antonio.
Oh, that's very nice.
And my cousin lives there, so I didn't know that, which is great. I did know that.
Wait,
I just
hold
forgot.
On, hold on. How do you not know your cousin lives in Texas?
I knew that he lived
I don't know
in
where
Texas.
Half my cousins live, so.
But Nick loves his family.
I do. I do love my family. My cousin Jared's a great dude, man. He does a lot of stuff behind the scenes that didn't even know about.
Okay. In San Antonio?
Yep.
All right, man.
Nice.
Did you go to the basement at the Alamo?
This is the last question. Thanks. Okay.
No, I did not go to the basement of the Alamo. I went in the Alamo church, just not in the basement of the Alamo.
Sad you don't get that joke.
It's cool. All right. Thanks, everybody. Thanks for coming out.
Sad
Appreciate
you don't
it.
Get that joke, man. Pee Wee Herman's Playhouse, the movie.
Oh, you know what? He actually had his bike out front of the Alamo.
There we go. Finally, thank
I
you.
I forgot about that.
All right. Thank
How
you.
About that? So All the right. Titans, are you done?
I'm done.
Am I allowed
you.
To
yes.
move on now? So the Titans had their joint practice today. Gentry Estes is going to join us. He is there. Hopefully the report can be longer than 90 seconds, unlike the video that
Maybe.
They can only post. But had the joint practices and, reading a few things. Maybe Cam was a rookie today?
Yeah. I mean, I think Teron Davenport has some really good insights what happened, what went down there today. So, but.
Yeah. I mean, Teron said, let's see, I'm pulling up the notes here. I had them pulled up and then my phone, decided that I needed to redo it. He says, overall takeaway from the Titans' first practice today is not good. They seemed sluggish to start offensively. A lot of balls on the ground. Struggled to run the ball in team period early too. Meanwhile, Michael Penix and the Falcons cut up the Titans' secondary. It was one practice, so no need to panic, but it wasn't a good day.
Oh, sorry, guys.
So now everybody's going to freak out. Like, oh, God, one bad day.
As they, last week versus the Bucks wasn't great. The game Saturday night wasn't fantastic overall.
I can tell you this, and you can take so much away from what I'm about to say, that last night I played the new Madden game for the first time, and I actually played the Falcons, and Cam threw 5 interceptions. So there you go. That you can base everything on that.
Were they off his back foot to the left side of the field? Probably.
Yes, yeah. Actually.
Oh, boy, this is. I tell you, the worst thing so far is because of Shedeur Sanders. That's the worst thing that's going on for Cam Ward because
I know.
The comparisons
and
are inevitable.
And look, we can sit here and say, don't pay attention to what the others are doing because it has no bearing on your team or your quarterback, and nobody's going to listen to that because everybody's going to go, oh, God. I mean, Shedeur Sanders, he was the MVP. Oh, he's going to win the Super Bowl this year. And Cam Ward, I mean, he might not even make it through a game. I don't know what we're going to do.
Right. Well, I mean, it happens. And that's people are doing it left and right on social media. And the Jackson
they're,
Dart.
They're telling
Saturday.
It like it is?
They're on Jackson Dart from Saturday for all that. So
yeah.
That's just the way it is.
Guys, it's preseason. It's practice. It's fine.
Just so I need to see.
Look, he's going to be a rookie this year.
Right. I need to see Friday. I need to see Friday. He's got to play the first half. You can't. I mean, he's got to play the first half. You got one more preseason game before the real game starts. You got to throw him out through the entire first half. If not, he plays another couple series again. There's something going on, man.
615-737-1025. That is our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. You're welcome to call or text throughout the show on what we were talking about. We'll get Tim Hasselbeck's evaluation of Cameron Ward through his first preseason game. He'll join us at 1:30 today, so looking forward to that. And also, we're going to do it again, our ChatGPT college football playoff simulation. Feels like 98.
Feels like 98. To see if they get it done.
98.
Yeah.
I already know the answer, so we'll do that. Well, yeah. I have to do it ahead of time.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I don't know if on the spur of the moment had those things happen.
So news literally, you know, it used to be news would break at 11 a.m. Now they've pushed it back to 3 p.m.
Yes.
Is when the news will break.
Right.
Literally, as we're getting off the air, the Titans have released Tim Boyle and brought in Trevor Siemian to, I guess, compete with Allen, with Brandon Allen.
I mean, who knows?
I mean, look, I'm just going to be real. We enjoyed having Tim Boyle on the show that one time. If you have a 0.6 rating in a preseason game or a practice or whatever, you probably deserve to get cut.
But they knew this. They knew he
did. Yeah, but did they know 0.6?
He's been on 18 different teams. How old is Trevor Siemian?
I don't know. He was on I want to say he was how old is he?
Yep.
33. Because he was on, I think he played one game or appeared in one game in 2015 with the Broncos and has a Super Bowl
ring. He does. He sure does.
Yeah. So
was Callahan on that team? The 2015?
Was he?
I think he was, right? Because that was Manning's last year. Denver was 2015.
Yeah, but I don't think he has a ring. Hang on. That's a really good
He was on that roster.
Was he?
2015. Offensive assistant or whatever that title
was. Yeah, he was.
And did he go? Where did Callahan go up for the Broncos?
So he won the Super Bowl. He left there and went to the Detroit Lions.
Okay, for how long?
Quarterbacks coach with them 2016 and 17, and then with the Raiders as the QB coach in 18, and then the Bengals.
Okay. All right. So he's known Siemian for the Broncos and with the Bengals in 23. So he knows him. They've got a little history there together, which is fine. And look, come in and push Brandon Allen. I'm all for that.
With a quarterback, I'm okay with that. Because even though it's a quarterback that you hope doesn't make a bit of difference.
Right.
It never matters. But again, I look at, you know, Brandon Allen and now Trevor Siemian as someone that is going to be familiar with this offense and familiar with the terminology that, you know, if Cam Ward makes a mistake, they can say, hey, no, it was this. That's all I care about. Be a coach on-field coach.
Yes.
If I have to see you in the game, that's not going to be good. That's not what I want.
No,
so I don't care, no. You know, but I am. Now you got me thinking of like all these quarterbacks that could get cut, like going and tracing them back to Brian Callahan.
Well, I mean, Peyton's not going out there. Osweiler's not going to go out there to do that.
He's doing TV now, I think.
Yes, he is. That's an okay job too. Remember the great scene? Osweiler's going in the game versus Denver because Peyton's coming out, and then Peyton's like, "Man, I ain't coming out." And he goes in, and Osweiler puts his helmet on. Have you seen that? Yeah. He walks and he sees Peyton. He's like, "What the hell?" And he goes back to the sidelines. And he's done that way.
What did Peyton say?
He said, "Man, I ain't going to the game. It was a terrible game." Because remember they bench Manning in 15. We forget that, right? Yeah. Wasn't good.
I don't like to talk about that.
He doesn't like to talk about that at all. But anyway.
His arm was rubber at that point.
It was. But reading the reports in Atlanta from everybody down there, we talked to Gentry at 12:30. Not good.
Yeah, and guess it's practice.
Not good.
It's one day of practice. I mean, tomorrow will probably be better because that's generally what happens in training camp, that you have a bad day and you have a good day. Now, there is something that concerns me that – seems to be a recurring theme when it comes to the Titans. And when I read a practice report or I've seen it with my own eyes, I'll tell you that when we come back. It's Chase and Big Joe here on this Tuesday, 615-737-1025. You can call, you can text, you can weigh in. You can also watch us on Twitter at 1025 The Game. Joe, what is our question of the day?
So there are now hotels around Nashville and around the country that if you drive a stick shift, you're not allowed to valet park because the valet parkers do not know how to drive a stick shift. Our question today is, do you know how to drive a stick shift? I need to know if you know how to drive a stick shift. And if you don't, why not? And if you do, how did you learn? Our young Dr. Crane does not know how to drive a stick shift, which is a generational thing.
Yep.
Chaser, do you?
Not well. I can, but not well.
So that means we need to get you on the road in a stick shift.
Yeah, I mean, like, I know what to do. I just haven't done it a lot. I'd never had a car with a stick shift. Now, I tell you what's made me better is doing these online racing games because you
really?
Actually have to. You have to clutch and shift and all that stuff. And then
interesting.
I learned how to do it on the farm down in Mississippi. My uncle had a truck that was a farm truck.
Yeah.
And I was probably like 12 and learned how to do it.
Okay, good. My brother got me out of his truck on I-40.
Because he was like, son, take the truck back up to the house and load something
done.
Up.
Yeah. Yeah, my brother got me on I-40 in Spence Lane at the hill and said, take it over. I'm like, what are you talking about? I learned how to drive a stick shift on the hill at Spence Lane as the truck was rolling back. He said, if you hit that car behind us, that's on you. So I didn't learn how to hit that. I learned how to drive.
But, I mean, the thing is, it's like if you don't do it enough, like – yes, I have been taught and stuff, but if you don't do it, then you're probably going to need to be retaught.
Right, yeah.
Like, so, if I got in, I would figure it out pretty quick. I might burn a clutch doing it.
Exactly. You learn how to do it. And that's why I think it's a great thing to learn how to drive a stick shift. And now hotels around the country, like, if you know how to – if you bring a stick shift in here, you cannot valet park because our guys don't know how to do it. That breaks my heart.
So text us, call us throughout the show on that. Do you know how to drive a stick shift? But something that continues to be a recurring theme with the Titans – that scares me. We'll discuss that coming up next. Chase and Big Joe on this Tuesday, presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel, 102.5 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game, here on this Tuesday. Titans down in Atlanta for joint practice. And they're lucky. They don't have to deal with SEC Media Days, Beyonce, the All-Star Game, WWE.
Right.
All at the same time. We got there and like, what the hell is going on down here?
Like, Chase, look at that cowboy hat over there. Look at that. Look at that wrestler. I mean, it was nonsense. It was crazy, man.
I'm just going to say this. I saw some cowboy hats on some people that don't need to be wearing cowboy hats.
Our favorite was we pulled up the hotel and there was a guy leaving the hotel wearing chaps that were, I can't use the word on the radio, but.
Assless chaps. You can say it.
Okay. And a fishnet shirt and a cowboy hat. And I was like, Chase, there's your Halloween outfit as you walked by. It was eye-opening, and I wish we had bleach.
Yeah.
We didn't.
Yeah. We'll get back to the question of the day. A lot of you have weighed in. Do you know how to drive a stick shift? And when did you learn? I'm curious of that. But something that I keep hearing when it comes to Titans practice,
uh-oh.
And we even had a texter say this that I noticed during the break. They were sluggish to start. They didn't have a lot of juice.
Right.
The energy was a little bit off. Does that not concern anybody else?
Oh, the sluggish.
I think it does, but I mean, like, why is that a problem? Now, do people sometimes spend too much? Oh man, they came out with a lot of juice. There was a lot of chirping going on and all that stuff. Do people get a little too obsessed with that? Yes, absolutely. But if every day I'm hearing, yeah, they were a little slow to start. It's kind of like we've talked about before last year, one of the biggest problems with the Predators was our start. We had a really bad start.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's like, okay, you do that a little bit at the beginning of the season, I'll give you that. If that continues to be a problem in November, that's a bigger issue.
I think it shows that
– I know this is still training camp, but like if we're three games in – and every answer out of everybody's mouth is, yeah, well, we got off to a slow start. That's a problem. And you know who that usually is on? The coach.
Yeah, you're right, man.
That's coaching.
It's been a problem for a long time over there at Baptist Sports, the St. Thomas Sports Park. Look, guys don't care about this. They're getting paid. They don't care. You think Jeffrey Simmons gives a damn? I mean, be honest.
Yeah, I do. I do think I do.
Full effort?
I think that, yes, there are some cases where a guy gets paid and he quits caring. But here's an example of something. Right now, I think Calvin Ridley does care. I've watched his effort. Now, last year, he was I think there were times where he wasn't interested, and I think it had to do with the quarterback.
It's a joint practice versus the Falcons. Yeah, we sit here and we get, why aren't you excited? Why aren't you fired up? It's a joint practice, man. There's another one tomorrow. It's not a game, and that's the deal. We talk about this all the time. What's your motivation? Why do you get fired up? Where do you go? What's your purpose doing out there? It's a joint practice, man. They do this. I mean, it just, yeah, it's concerning. I think it is. But my God, how many years have we heard this? It's sluggish. They're tiring. They got off to a bad start. I don't know what the answer is. But listen to Brian Callahan. He's never, I mean, his words have never inspired me. You know, that's the problem. We grew up on coaches like Ditka and Parcells and people like that who get their point, and Buddy Ryan,
yeah,
who get their point across very quickly, very succinctly, and let you know where you stand. Now it's kind of like, we'll get them tomorrow, guys.
Can I agree and disagree with you at the same time on that?
Yeah.
So you grew up on those coaches.
Yep.
You know, I grew up on the Belichicks and the Fishers and, Bill Walsh at the end, but you know, like, I think it just there are different ways to do something. Now, where I will agree with you is, yeah, I mean, he comes across bland sometimes,
mm-hmm.
and I can only go on what I see. I don't know what he is. You know, the Titans have tried, like, they posted that video of him, you know, kind of going like bleep yeah, like, you know, in the backwards hat and stuff,
right?
And like, I don't care if he wears his hat backwards or anything, and you know, I know Colin Cowherd had an issue with it and all that stuff, and it's just like, whatever. But I do see your point of he doesn't show a ton of energy, so therefore the team doesn't have it. Whereas Vrabel, you were ready to run through a wall.
Yeah, right.
You know, even Malarkey. I think Malarkey had some of that of like, you're ready to let's go play football. And that also had a lot to do with who was on the team too. Kevin Byard had a lot of that.
Yeah,
Derrick Henry
right.
would have a lot of that.
Nobody wants to step up. That's the problem.
Jeffrey Simmons has it, but as we've discussed, I think there's times where Jeffrey Simmons will talk too much, and I think he's kind of been working on that. And so it's, all right, do you always listen to that? But it's, to me, it starts with the coach. The coach is the one that has to set the tone.
Yeah,
and he's got to do a better job of setting that tone.
We had a practice one time at junior college. Within the first four periods, it was awful. He called us together and said, "It's all practice is over. You're done. You guys are terrible." Coach goes to the locker room, gets his keys, and goes home. We see him drive through the parking lot as we're leaving the practice field. He was that disgusted with us. We're like, "Oh God!"
I felt like crap, didn't you?
Felt terrible.
Yeah,
he left. He went home. He said, "I'm going home," and he went home. We had no meetings. We just sat around. This is during camp. I'm like, what's going on here? So at the same time,
I witnessed something similar.
Guys have got to motivate themselves. It just doesn't. If I have to rely on you to motivate me, it's not going to work. Guys have got to. That's why I like watching the guys on the second and third team. They got stuff to prove, man. They're fighting for their professional lives. I don't mind that. I don't mind doing that. All too often we focus on one or two guys that are kind of setting the tone. They're not setting it, and the practice is terrible. I just don't know. I just know there are guys that on those second and third deep who are trying really hard to make this football team. That's, to me, where the passion is right now.
Now, the guy I'm not questioning is the quarterback. I mean, that's there.
I don't want to hear from him that much more. I mean, you're a rookie.
Yeah, you know, I know. But, like, watching – again, you're a body language guy. Watching his body language – I'm good with it. I'm good with what I see. Now he's going to make mistakes. He's making a lot of them right now. Quite frankly, I'm not going to sit here and root for a guy to screw up every play. But I'm also going to go, all right, is he learning from him? You know, John yesterday when we were talking to him, I said of, you know, making the mistake but not making the same mistake twice.
Right.
And then the way he gave the answer of like, you know, in the NFL, you probably are going to make the same mistake twice. It's just, do you do it the fourth and fifth and sixth and seventh time? The problem with Will Levis was he made the same mistake eight times. He wasn't learning from it. With Cam Ward, does he do it a couple of times?
Yeah.
And then realize, okay, I'm going to adjust this. Like the story came out early in camp that he threw like three interceptions to Cody Barton And he went up to him and said, hey, what are you seeing that I'm doing? And Barton went through every play with him of, here's how you're tipping me off.
Right.
Here's like what I'm looking for as a defender. That, I'm like, okay. Because that's a kid that wants to learn and wants to get better.
I think once Cam gets that cachet of making plays happen, you let him go. We talk about Favre all the time. His first year with Holmgren in 92 in Green Bay, he was throwing interceptions. And Holmgren's, why are you doing that? And Favre's like, I'm sorry. He'd do it again. Then it's a touchdown. He's like, I get why you're doing that. There's that give and take. And I think quarterbacks have to have a gunslinger mentality. That's to be successful. You think Mahomes is a gunslinger?
Yeah.
Brady?
Yeah.
Goff?
Yeah.
Stafford? I mean, I think you've got to be a gun. You've got to make mistakes. You've got to make things happen. And if mistakes do happen, that's fine. But the result is you're going to make some big plays go. Favre is a great example of doing things like that. Other quarterbacks as well. Let the gunslinger mentality take over, give him the confidence he needs. And build. That's why you talk about Ridley being so important to him. He's got that guy now that he can go to. And if they get on the same page, it could be deadly. But I think let him kind of tweak his thing, let him go through some bad practices, and then that Denver game, man, just pump him up that whole week and say, you're the reason we're going to win today, and let him go.
0943, I'd bet that a lot of people's favorite coaches they ever played for are a-holes instead of nice.
Amen. 100%.
I think the best coaches are the ones that can read their players and know that, all right, I'm going to coach Joe a little bit differently than I'm going to coach Nick. And I'm going to coach Nick a little bit differently than I'm going to coach Chase. But those are the ones that care enough to get to know their players and know what motivates them and makes them tick. Because there are players that don't like being screamed at. They like being corrected, but like they need a little more, especially today's time. And I know you may say that's soft, but
it's like, different.
It's different. But like, you know, I mean, I hope you don't mind me saying this. Would it be fair to say that your son is probably coached differently than you were coached?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Because you're different.
Don't hurt his feelings.
Yeah.
It's a lot of these kids these days. That I told you, I thought in junior college, the first 2 weeks, my whole name was GD. That's what I thought. And a lot of us did too. I mean, that's the thing. But the guy just coached us so hard and poured so much into us that we respected it and we don't want to let him down. Now, it's different, you know, we got coaches coming in and out in the NFL and things that are going on, but at the end of the day, it's up to you to get it going. If you can motivate your team, that's great. And if Big Jeff's the guy to do it, he wants to put that team on his back, get it done. But they practice tomorrow versus the Falcons, Vikings next week, but then you got to turn it up for game one. You just got to.
615-737-1025. Lance wants to answer our question of the day real quick on a stick shift. What's up, Lance?
Yeah, I know how to drive a stick shift, but I'm pretty old. So growing up, you'd sit next to your father or your grandfather and with an old three on the tree, if y'all know what that is.
Yeah.
And change the gears. And they wouldn't tell you that you'd have to tell them to when to push the clutch in and change the gear, because they tell you, you need to listen to the engine and tell me when I need to change gears. That's how I learned.
Oh, in fact, that's great.
My oldest daughter just wanted a stick shift, and she knows how to drive one. But if you try to go buy a standard shift car now, it costs you more money than an automatic.
Yeah, they're just not making many of them. Thanks, Lance. Appreciate you. Yeah, I mean, that's the one thing I was thinking, like, outside of finding something used, can you even go find a stick shift anymore?
I hope you can.
I mean, probably, but, like, not many.
I miss driving a stick shift, man. Miss it.
We'll get back into that a little bit later. But coming up next, Gentry Estes of the Tennessean. He's in Atlanta. He will join us for an update from practice. We'll do that next. It's Chase and Big Joe here on this Tuesday, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. The Titans went down to Georgia. They were looking for a game to steal. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game, here on this Tuesday. The Titans in joint practices with the Atlanta Falcons, and Gentry Estes of the Tennessean is down there. And got to witness it all today. Gentry, I'm going to be honest with you. When I keep reading that they were sluggish at the start, that really bugs me because I feel like that's a theme.
Yeah, it is. And they were sluggish at the start, and they weren't very good the whole time. I'm going to be honest. I think that kind of lets them off the hook a little bit to blame it on a slow start. It was a rough practice. I don't really see any reason to sit here and say otherwise. Before I got on the phone with you guys, I was sitting here thinking, I was like, what good can I say about that practice? And there really isn't that much. The Falcons outplayed the Titans quite a bit on both fields.
Okay, so let's start with Cam Ward specifically. How did he look today?
You know, hit or miss, but they're late in the, you know, he threw a couple interceptions kind of there at the end. He threw a ball that was tipped by A.J. Terrell, went way up in the air and got intercepted. It was a lot more difficult for Cam Ward than it was for Michael Penix, put it that way. When you're watching both fields, you know, if Cam made a play, it was usually him getting out of the pocket and getting out of system and just making something happen. What the Falcons were doing was very much in system. Penix, Kirk Cousins, just being surgical in what they were doing against the Titans defense. And I'm not going to lie, guy, it was alarming, the gap between the teams today. Now, you can put that on several things for the Titans. You can put that on the fact they've been on this road trip now for about a week. And when they showed up, they did kind of look like a team that had been on the road for a week and was ready to be home. And, you know, we talk about slow start. Maybe that did contribute to just a poor day today. They look like a team that was ready to be home.
Talking to Gentry Assets from the Tennessee and down in Atlanta today for the Titans practice. You retweeted Kuharsky, what he said about what Jarvis Brownlee said about practice. He said it was all right. It was BS. We can play a lot better than that. At least the guys are accountable. I like hearing that when they said, you know, we suck today. I don't mind hearing that, Gentry.
Yeah, I mean, there really wasn't a whole lot else they could say. I mean, I'll just be honest. They just didn't do very much well, and I don't think the Falcons weren't phenomenal. I think they had a pretty good day. I think Penix in particular had a good day. He had a few very nice throws to beat the Titans over the top for big plays. But I don't see and you know the players were put in a little bit of a rough spot too, Joe, because Callahan did not speak after this practice. None of the coaches did, so it was kind of up to the players to do that. And had they tried to say otherwise, I just don't think they could today. We all saw what happened.
I know you talked about they look like they've been on the road, but I just want to add this. They fly first class. They stay in first class accommodations. They get fed 5-star meals. I don't feel sorry for professional athletes on the road. Does that make sense?
Well, no. I mean, obviously, the place they're staying in a pretty nice hotel near the Falcons facility. So that's certainly true. But I don't know. They just look when the team showed up this morning and they're walking out to the field. I was just standing there, you know, having a conversation and just say, they just feel they just look like a team that's been on the road for a while. They look like a team that's just kind of tired of this.
So you knew going into practice, you had that feeling like, oh God, this is going to, and when you got that before practice starts, Gentry, and you're a smart guy, you know, it's going to be a bad day for that football team.
Well, and it kind of builds on itself, right? But I mean, you know, the Falcons facility, there's a big hill in the back and all the fans are sitting up there, and there were actually quite a few fans. I mean, they had a pretty good turnout today. And so the Falcons are coming out making big plays. There's a lot of cheers. You know, the Falcons players are celebrating when they score touchdowns. It kind of builds on itself when the momentum goes against you. And I'm sitting here saying it was just 100% awful. It was. I mean, if you went through, you could probably pick out some good plays here or there. But to me, it was just from the standpoint of, okay, you got two fields going at once, and you look at the field with the Titans offense, and everything looks so difficult for them, and everything looks so easy for the Falcons offense. And it was just kind of that way for most of the time.
Gentry Estes is with us from the Tennessee. And how much of Lloyd Cushenberry did we see today?
Not a lot in the team stuff, but he was out there, and we spoke to him after practice. He said the goal was to be ready for week one. I think that's encouraging. And, you know, and honestly, if I was to sit here and say what part of this preseason has encouraged me, what part of this preseason with the Titans has led me to reconsider my thought that this team was just not going to be very good? And the only answer I have on that has been the offensive line. I do feel like the offensive line is better from last year to this year. They played well in the preseason game in terms of what they were picking up what Tampa wanted to try to do. You know, Cam Ward really wasn't touched while he was out there. You get Cushenberry back, and I think that's another, you know, it's obviously a big piece for what they want to do. And I think the offensive line has been a bright spot in a preseason where they're really, guys, there really hasn't been a whole lot of them yet.
Well, that's at least encouraging to hear. Gentry Estes is with us. There was a report, I guess, last week or a couple weeks ago, Jeremy Fowler from ESPN, that the Titans might look around for another quarterback, whether it was a trade or waiver wire or something like that. Ultimately, they released Tim Boyle yesterday, signed Trevor Siemian to come in and be that third quarterback on the roster. Do you think that this was just basically what they had seen out of Boyle, just got confirmed with a .6 quarterback rating in the preseason game, or you know, what do you think the logic was in bringing in Siemian?
Yeah, I mean, I don't have any reason to think it was anything but that. I think, you know, when you see – I don't see how anyone could have watched the end of that game the other night and thought to yourself, wow, that's an NFL quarterback. I mean, he really didn't look like he should be an NFL quarterback. And you know, we say that kind of tongue-in-cheek, but it's – you don't normally see that. Usually, you know, it was pretty glaring how overmatched he seemed to be by that moment. So, I think if you're the Titans, you take a look at it. And then Trevor Siemian, to be fair, I think he had a pretty good day today. It's tough when these practices are going on because you're watching one or the other. And I didn't really get a good look at Siemian, but I was told he actually did pretty well today.
You know, we're talking to Gentry Estes from the Tennessean. I'm laughing because talking to you, it's like talking to my son when he's in high school. Hey, how was your day, buddy? And he tried to find something good to talk about. And we're asking you, like, give us something that happened good down there today. And we got a question on the board, Gentry. It says, be honest, how bad can this be for the Titans in 2025? I mean, we're trying to help this football team out with positivity, but I just got a really bad feeling, Gentry, after, you know, reading your stuff today. It wasn't great Saturday. I know it's still camp. I know all that stuff, but I've been around a long time seeing how some of the stuff can just get worse and worse and worse. I guess, how bad can it be? I mean, that's the question.
I think at this point, you're looking for Cam Ward to kind of save the day a little bit.
Oof.
I do. I feel like if he comes in, a good quarterback can change everything, and I'm not ruling that out for this team, especially as the year goes along. Maybe by November, December, that he's playing pretty well. But I do think that's kind of going to be what it takes. I mean, there's just no reason to really look at this right now and think this is going to be a good team. And I know people don't want to hear that. I mean, this is the time of the year for positivity and, you know, to kind of try to be optimistic about what's going on. But you know, and guys, that isn't just because of what I saw in Atlanta today. I've kind of thought that the whole time. There really hasn't been, there's just not anything you've really seen from this team to kind of argue with the idea they're not going to be very good. And, you know, that's about all you can say at this point.
You're trying, man. We love you. You're trying.
Along those lines, though, Gentry, if it is week three, or, I mean, the story would be in Patriots week 4 or something like that, 5, 6.
Yeah, Patriots more mid-October.
Yeah, mid-October. But let's say around week 3 or week 4, that's when he has the moment where we're all like, ah, there he is. That's the number 1 overall pick. Are we all patient enough to wait that long? Because I think so many want to see it now and want to see it in week 1.
I mean, maybe not, but I think that's how it's going to go. I think the Titans, I think we saw, you know, what they had behind him at quarterback the other night. So I think it's – Cam Ward, if there is a positive to this from the standpoint of, okay, you're not really expecting to win a whole lot this year, it's that there will be some time for Cam Ward to learn and make mistakes and really grow into the job. I do think that will happen. I think Cam Ward, over the course of the season, will – that's really the measuring stick to me. Is he better in December than he is in September? Is this team improving or just completely falling apart? Are they're beating themselves? Are they still making all these mistakes and turnovers and penalties, and it's just ugly? Or are they improving? Or is there signs that they're starting to? I think the big problem last year, and I think, you know, going off the Mike Vrabel era, Mike Vrabel was very good with the Titans at taking a team and making it better than the sum of its parts.
Yep.
there was a year where that, you know, they had all the injuries and they signed a record number of guys and had to bring in all these people, and they were still a pretty good football team. I think what bothered everyone so much last year was they were not as good as the sum of their parts. You know, when you look at the roster, maybe this wasn't a playoff team, but they shouldn't have been as bad as they were. And if you can get to a point where you're not beating yourself, you're not making these silly penalties and turnovers and all the things the Titans did, couldn't cover kicks, all the things they couldn't do last season. If you just are a solid team that plays solid football and gives yourself a chance to win games, I think they'll win more games. But we just haven't seen enough this preseason to really feel like they're going to be much better than last year, like I said, with the exception of the O-line.
Talking to Gentry Assers from the Tennessee, and Gentry, it's a theme on all the shows throughout, you know, here at 102.5. It's like, well, if it starts out bad, what happens to Brian Callahan? I would hate to be a football coach knowing that if it starts out bad, I'm gone. And I'm telling you, it's in the back of their minds. It's got to be, because everybody talks about it.
Yeah, no, and I think both of our teams are in that. Their pro teams in Nashville are in that same boat. I think the Preds are going to run into that too, the first part of their season. And it is a tough situation when you know that there can be consequences pretty quickly like that. You know, but it is what it is. I mean, they're going to have to do something to. I think Brian Callahan's a good coach. I think he's a good man. I think from being around him, he's a good person. All that good stuff. But at some point, he's going to have to show that he's an NFL coach and he can get this done. And last year wasn't enough.
Very good stuff. As much as I know it was tough, but you did a great job, Gentry, to put lipstick on that pig, or however you want to put it. So we appreciate it.
Thank you, bud. Take care, guys.
Yep, you too. Gentry Estes from the Tennessee and joining us here on the show. Not a good day is basically what what we heard from him. 615-737-1025. So are you nervous? You're nervous now?
About
them having a bad day? Like, is this just going to send everybody into a tizzy?
I got to see tomorrow, man. I got to see tomorrow. And that's the thing about football.
There's always
hockey.
Tomorrow.
Unlike hockey, you have a bad game Saturday, you're playing again on Monday.
Yeah.
Football, you next Sunday. The week,
yeah,
you know,
it's got to sit with you.
It's got to – tomorrow's got to be a hell of a lot better. Hell of a lot better.
615-737-1025. That is our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. This September, Tim McGraw will be performing at Trinetics Rock the Cradle in Nashville, a meaningful event supporting newborns and moms at Ascension St. Thomas Midtown. Get your tickets now at rockthecradlenashville.org. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game.
How long do you think that onboarding process, you know, getting back will be for you?
Not sure. I'm just listening to what training staff is telling me and what the coach's plan is. So I'm not 100% sure of the timeline, but I'm going to just work every day to get back.
Mentally, are you at a point where you're not even thinking about the Achilles?
Yeah, I think I'm fine. It's been a journey. It's been a long, tough 9 months, football and in life. So I'm to a point where I'm just ready to get back to playing football.
That was Lloyd Cushenberry via Paul Kuharsky's Twitter after practice today. Titans down in Atlanta with a joint practice with the Falcons. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. It is funny. I never thought we would get to a point where you ask somebody the bright side about the Titans, and Gentry Estes said the offensive line.
Hey, that's crazy, right? I thought he was going to say the bright side was practice is over. But no. But look, let's be honest for a second. If that offensive line is good, right?
Yep.
And Cam finds a balance between, you know, getting comfortable and getting a relationship with Ridley and understanding the offense, there's some possibilities here. I know we're laughing at one practice in Atlanta, how bad can it be? I get that. But the defense is a whole other subject. But if Cam get comfortable and can be protected, Tim Hasselbeck said it last week and said, if they can protect him, good things can happen. That's on any team. So, yeah, there are some positive things that can go there. We just haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, and that's – you might not necessarily see it in training camp. That's why I was asking. I mean, does everybody have the patience that if the moment when it's like, oh, there he is, hits in week three or week four or even later in the season, I mean, you have to be prepared for that, and you probably need to be okay with that. because that means he's learning. And then you truly would have the answer or be close to the answer of, all right, this is the guy we need to build around. Here are our weak spots. And yes, there are plenty of them. And then you look at next year's draft and you continue that process. Because again, they told you what they were going to do. Chad Brinker and Mike Borgonzi told you, we're going to build through the draft. We're going to use free agency, you know,
to plug in holes.
To plug in some holes. But you can't build through free agency. You have to build through the draft. And they started that process this year with these draft picks. Now the hope is that they all show signs of development and growth.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. And that, you know, you got Latham, you got Skoroski looking good. Zeitler's still got a lot of gas in the tank. I haven't heard Dan Moore Jr.'s name once. Love it.
That's
if I never hear that guy's name again.
You know what? I'm proud of you because you got it right. Thank you.
Yeah, right. So if I never hear those guys again, we're good to go. And you get a little something with Gunnar Helm working for you. I mean, there's a lot of upside here to go. I'm worried to death about that defense.
Yeah.
I am worried to death about that defense because I still think in the back of their mind they want to trade Jeffrey Simmons. I'm telling you, man. Get some value out of that. You know, the team's not going anywhere. Other than that, I don't know what they got, man.
Well, I think the only way they would consider that is if Tavondre Sweat has a big jump this year, then they might could look at that and consider it and make Sweat the big guy in the middle and see what you could get for Jeff. But I don't think they're thinking that way right now. They might be later, but not right now. 615-737-1025, Viking Matt, the whole Titans season will be a bad day. Can't wait, but hopefully this will help Cam for the future.
Right.
That's probably right.
Exactly. That's exactly right with that. I mean, go out tomorrow, make more mistakes, show some positive things, and then – but we talk about Friday night. What do you want to see from him? I want to see the whole first half. I want to see the whole first half from Cam Ward. And maybe that's a plan to build him up, let him come back out of halftime and run it. Why not? Why not see that? I'd love to see that.
Coming up next, there's one SEC team that might be in trouble when it comes to their quarterback. Plus, feels like 98. We'll do that in the hour number two. Chasing Big Joe plus Tim Hasselbeck at the bottom of the hour, 102.5 The Game.